right out that door to an awesome moment of Sunday school. And then we get a real joy today. I was sitting here thinking about just life itself and people, and I thank you for many of your kindnesses. I wrote this book. It took a lifetime to write this thing. It really did. And if you read it, you'll see that people have always asked me, how in the world did the joy of the Lord actually become your strength? I said, well, for the joy of the Lord to become your strength, you have to go through a lot of problems. I call them opportunities. And the reason I call them opportunities is because every time something came my way, and if you happen to read the book, you'll see many things came my way. And I always had a choice. In those moments, I had a choice to give joy and offer whatever I was in as worship to the Lord, or I had a choice to moan about it and in my old nature. In fact, one time, I don't know if I actually wrote it in that book. I don't think I did. I tried to keep it cleaned up. I only used a couple of swear words in it, but and those were light. Okay, they were light. But I remember one time in a very bad moment of my life, I told the Lord, I was just wailing. I was so sick to my soul. And I said, let's you and I go get drunk. And I went to a liquor store and I bought a bunch of booze and I got plastered at home. And I woke up the next morning and I said, Father, I bet you feel better than I do. I said, that was about the dumbest thing I ever could do. I'm not doing that again. And that was the end of that. And I wanted you to know, we call this the deep magic, and you'll know why. You know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, and I'm going to tell you some things about that, but I'm also going to tell you to open the scriptures to you in 1 Corinthians 2:8, where it basically tells you that had the rulers of this world, had the rulers of the kingdom of the air, had Lucifer and all of the imps that travel with him known the mystery that had been hidden before time, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known, but they didn't know. They did not know. And I'm amazed at the scripture when it says before time. Think of this. I mean, we wonder where did time come from, and right in the Word of God, it says to you and I that there was a mystery of God that the rulers of this world did not know. And that was recorded before all time. It was known before all time, but they didn't know it. I love that kind of stuff. I just love that kind of stuff. Like, you didn't get it. You know, you thought you were bad. You're not bad enough. And you look at this, and I want to tell you, you know, as Aslan, if you've read the book, and when my children were small, we read the series to them. And as Aslan spoke to Peter and Edmund and Susie and Lucy concerning what had taken place with the wicked witch. And by the way, in that book, or if you saw the movie, she was bad. She had a nasty attitude. Terrible attitude. And then it says, he told them that she knew only the magic, but she did not know of the deep magic before she was created. It was the same with Lucifer. You have to understand, there is a kingdom. There is a kingdom in this world. It's a kingdom of darkness and death. Talk about it, and I want to take wonder. I think it's a wonderful journey God has put us on. Lucifer didn't know certain things. And that, I mean, like in the book when they see him shaving Aslan and torturing him, and he just surrenders to it. And they're rejoicing that they won. And Lucifer thought the same thing. If I could ever come to a point that you could get God to humble himself and take on human form, and if we could kill him, we can hold God. We can hold God in our kingdom. Because there's nothing that can break the power of death. It owns everything on the planet, and it was their kingdom. This is their kingdom. And he came into this place for you and I, out of the great love of you and I. And that's why even on the cross it says, one of the last things he says is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now these are the ones, the people that put him there, they're spitting at him and accusing him of all these things. So, I want to give you, we're going to look at Romans 8, 1 through 4 today. And if you've got your Bibles, you might want to look there. Of course, they got them up here today. Thank you for Robert doing this. You can be assured, if you ever see something on the screen, I didn't put it there. I know not how, okay? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I want to say that again, because many of you in this room today are still suffering from the results of your own condemnation. You're still judging yourself by your own behavior. You think salvation has to do with you. Salvation is completely and only in Christ. He is the answer of it all. It is Him alone. And so when He tells you, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because, here's the why. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did. What the law couldn't accomplish, and I'll explain that as we go along. What it could not do, it never was intended to do, but what it could not do, God did. God did it all anyway. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so, what did He do with it? He condemned sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Why? In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Now listen to that. What? He condemned sin so that the righteous requirements of the law would be met in you. Can you even imagine that? I'm going to say it over and over again. What did the law come for? The law of God has come for this reason. That sin might be exposed in us. That you knew that you couldn't save yourself. That you knew condemnation was there all the time. No matter how you tried to improve yourself, you couldn't pull it off. And the law cannot declare anything righteous that is not perfect. Nothing can be declared righteous that is not perfect. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because in the gospel there's a righteousness from God. A righteousness from God. And this righteousness is by faith from first to last. The law does what now? Declares me righteous because I'm perfect because I'm in Christ. Amen. See, that's the glory. And that's what salvation is. And so many people, we get saved, we start to believe all this, and then we kind of, oh, we go on and talk about ourselves. If I only. He condemned sin in the flesh. Why? In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in who? Fully met in us. Right here. Gus Bess. Perfect. Man, I just like the sound of that. Blameless. I've been declared by God Himself. Righteous. I've been declared by God Himself. You will never know condemnation again. And I've had almost four decades of not one moment of condemnation. And I promise you, in this carcass I have sinned in plenty. But I get the joy of repentance, not condemnation. Repentance. That's why I want to give this to you, the deep magic that Lucifer never knew. The sovereignty of this planet is death. It kills everything. It's sovereign over everything. And one day, the magnificence of the Almighty, the magnificence of Jesus Christ, the magnificence, He did go to hell. He went to death. He surrendered to it. And then on the third day, He arose from that place. He broke its authority over you. He broke its authority over me. And He declared us righteous because we took Him at His word. There's no one like the Lord. And if, by the things we were singing this morning, if we believe what we were singing, you got to start dancing. You got to get into it. You've got to sit there and rejoice. How could you not rejoice? If you knew you were as guilty as hell, you knew you were as guilty of death and all of that, you should have been condemned. And all of a sudden, someone rescued you. And not only did they rescue you, He declares you righteous. The law of God itself declares you perfect. Why? Because Christ is in you. You have been born again. You have a new nature. That was the deep magic. That's the magic that Lucifer did not know. Is this just exciting or what? I mean, you can hardly contain yourself. You know, the moment a man, the moment a woman becomes a believer in Christ, they are no longer under the law of judgment. They're under a law of grace. The magnificence of that. How do you get the joy of the Lord as your strength? Lighten up. Do you know that you have a new nature? Do you believe that God gave you a new nature? Lighten up. Are you in a sorrowful place? Take your sorrow and offer what you have as worship. Give it to the Lord. Are you in a place of joy? Well, start dancing. You know, I was just thinking of Brooks and Dunn for some reason. I think it's because, remember when we used to do that dancing? Boot, scoot, and boogie and all that? Yeah, that was way cool. Get Karen up here and they'll start dancing up here for you. Listen, there's no one like him. Under the law, you can be under the law of grace. The magnificence is there is no condemnation. When there's no condemnation, all judgment ends. The feelings of guilt, despair, regret, shame, embarrassment, judgment, unforgiveness, they all leave the room. There is no one like the Lord, therefore there's no one like you, and there's no one like that new nature. That's why the beauty, when you look at this, look at these words, look at verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do. Why was it powerless? Well, because the law didn't come with the power to change the nature. The law came, it says, the Word of God tells us that the law is spiritual. It is holy. It came as a wrath against sin. It came as a wrath against sin because it was describing the nature of God. And as it was given, the nature of sin exposes itself. I will not submit. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Oh, yeah? And we use His name in vain. Do not commit immorality and all those sins. Oh, yeah? I'm going to create new ones. Honor your father and mother all the days of your life. I will not. You don't understand the lousy father and mother I had. They treated me blah, blah, and all. It didn't say that. He said, honor them. He didn't say if they were good or bad. He said, honor them. They're the ones that gave you life. It doesn't matter if you knew them or not. He didn't say if you know your father and mother. He said, honor your father and mother all the days of your life. And I look at them, why? Because just like Christ on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. My father and mother didn't know what they were doing. They were doing the best they could, but they didn't know what they were doing. I had the privilege of leading my father and mother to Christ. I watched both of them become born again. You know how cool that is? Man, we really became a family. And can you imagine this? And then I became their pastor. How cool is that? Huh? Who's your pastor? Oh, my son. Yeah. And she could have told you, when I was born, she did not say, look, a man of God has just been born. It did not happen. Listen, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did. God did it. What did He do? The law was powerless. What do you mean? The law came to expose our sin. And as it exposed it, condemnation became more and more and more. So we tried to add laws to it to make ourselves feel better, so that we could at least condemn you instead of condemning me. See, I'm better than you, therefore I could condemn you because you did. And that's what the Pharisees did. And they went on and on. Condemn, condemn, condemn. Trying to find a way of relief. Trying to relieve the pain that you feel like you're in because you never get your act together. And all of a sudden, God did it. What did He do? By sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. Let me find it here, because I'm going to turn it to Titus in a minute. But I want to listen to this translation. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. For now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin. What happens? You've been freed from the power of sin. That means I don't have to think like that if I don't want to. Every day I get a choice. Every single moment of every day I'm choosing. And I get to choose to give glory to God. I get to choose to rejoice in the Lord. I get to choose to let the joy of the Lord be my strength. Every day. Or I can go back to that old nature. And when you read the book that God had me write, you'll see that I was very honest about my old nature and how faithful He was, not how faithful I was. And then in the old nature, there's nothing good. In the old nature, you get divorced. It may not just be a marital divorce. It may be divorced from your family, from a friend, maybe from a community. Maybe you divorce yourself from a church even. You just think the church is a dirtbag place. You don't like the people in the church. And all of a sudden, there's divorces everywhere. There's brokenness. It means to rip. It means to tear. Now watch this. He says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in the body like our bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. He declared an end to sin's control over us. He declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that, here it is, He did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied in us. Yola vole. Now, men and women of God, if God calls you, if He's going to call you righteous, guess what? You're righteous. This righteousness is the freedom from your condemnation and the judgment and the guilt that you always feel. This righteousness is by faith from first to last. It's in Jesus Christ and Him alone. If God declares something, how are you going to live it? How does it ever happen that it's you? Well, you rejoice in it. If God declares it good, if God declares it righteous, then it is righteous. So let me walk you through some of these things. What the law was powerless to do and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, it doesn't mean that the law was weak. The law declared the magnificence of the holiness of God. So our sin nature rises up, and it's not any different than the old little fun stories when you'd walk by and you. I was just sitting there thinking, when I was a kid, they had phone booths. Some of you might remember a phone booth. Okay? You actually put money in the phone. It was a dime. And then it went to a quarter. And you know what this made me think of? Thrifty drugstore. Thrifty drugstore. One dime for a scoop. That was so cool. And you get two scoops on a dime. It was a nickel for a scoop. That's what it was. Two. And I remember this. And I said, go buy a phone booth. I'm a little kid. They painted the phone booth. Big sign on it. Wet paint. I'm about 8 years old. What do you think I did as a boy walking by? I mean, what did the sign say? Wet paint. What did I do? I put my finger out. Guess what? It was wet paint. What does the law do? The law tells us, and all of a sudden our nature comes out of it, and we get exposed, and we're being exposed, so the condemnation comes. And so the law was dependent upon our efforts. Here I am. God gave the law on, it's His character, but it's also His wrath on sin. Sin will not, cannot be obedient to the law. It's impossible. So He gives it, and everything breaks loose. See, our need is twofold. First, I needed to be delivered from my own sin. I need to be delivered from my own sin. And second, for that to happen, we needed to be delivered from the law. And that's why Christ came. He came to fulfill the law. He became to fulfill. God told mankind, this is the basics. This is the basics. You call them the Ten Commandments. Some call them the Law of Moses. But this is it. And He came to fulfill it. And when He fulfilled it, and there is no foulness in Him, He fulfilled it for you and I. And how do you know that was the truth? Because of death and the resurrection. And so, if that be the case, therefore there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Grace is God's love expressed in absolute power. See, so I begin to walk through this thing with you, and I look at it and said, here it is, God's good news. What is it? That God has done something which neither we nor the law could do. I can't save myself. I can't fix anything. I've tried every kind of behavior modification. It doesn't work. You can go to therapists all you want. All you'll do is give your money. But your sinful nature is your sinful nature. It's judgmental. It's critical spirited. It's meaner than a snake. And sometimes it's meaner than a snake in Jesus' name. It uses Jesus' name. And that's why some churches are less than graceful at times. In fact, I met one of the churches that called themselves Grace, and man, they were nasty, just plain old nasty. Which was kind of sad for me. But now I want you to see it. Salvation isn't, listen carefully. Salvation, the deep magic is this. Salvation is entirely of God. Salvation is entirely of Jesus Christ. Salvation is entirely of Him. There is no religion in Him. He is not a religion. He didn't ask you to come to a behavior modification. He did not ask you to come to His religion. He asked you to come to Him. Will you come to Him? Will you be set free from your own sin? Will you willingly want a new nature? Do you want something so magnificent that it expresses itself in joy? Salvation was not a divine afterthought. When Adam and Eve sinned, God did not go, whoops. What happened here? No. Just as He, in Ephesians 1:4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, what? That we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. We are. Why? Because we're declared righteous. Why are you blameless? Because you were declared righteous. Who declared you righteous? God. Who declared you righteous? The law of God declares you righteous because you're in Christ. Now, doesn't that bring some joy to you? I know some of you are just ponderers. You need to think this over for a while, don't you? It's really a heavy thought on you. You're really struggling with this. I'm telling you, this is wonderful. Then the king will say to those on their right, Matthew 25:34, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Listen, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world for you. Listen to these wonderful thoughts. The magnificence. Everyone wants to know the Lord. I really believe that. If they had an opportunity, you know, like that's why the title of that, if there is a God, wouldn't you want to know Him? There's no one like Him. He declares people who are sinful, unsinful. He releases you from the power of your own natural nature and gives you a new nature. How magnificent. It is His plan. It is His purpose. How can there be no condemnation? Because salvation is God's action from beginning to end. How can there be no condemnation? How come I don't have condemnation? How come I'm not condemning myself and my wife or anybody else? Because it's God's plan. He did it from beginning to end. I have nothing to do with it. All I did was accept it. He gave me faith to believe Him. And when He said, Gus, I'm telling you, there's no condemnation in you anymore. Amen. I rejoiced. I danced. I jumped up and down. When I was younger, I was a lot more animated, I promise you. I literally jumped up and down, man. I was like, woo! Real. I was a very expressive young man. And I look back at those days and I think, I don't want to ever stop now. I said, there's no one like the Lord. You hear me say these things, but I'm telling you, there's a freedom that most of us aren't understanding. We're not getting it. I love what God has done. If it was dependent on us at all, Paul could never have said there's no condemnation. If it's dependent on me in any shape, way, or form, if I had anything to do with it, if it depended on my anything, if it depended on my anything at all, you have to be a better husband. I don't care what it is. If it depended on me in any way, there would be condemnation. I would fail. And that's what's happened with so many of us. See, for I am not ashamed. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. For in the gospel is a righteousness from God. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. And this righteousness was given by Christ. Now that I have become righteousness in Christ, I have no condemnation. And it is by faith. And I get to live with a joy that is uncontainable. So all of a sudden, you work in a marriage. Like I tell people, I've been dealing with a lot of marital opportunities for people who everybody loves Jesus, but they don't like each other. Okay? And I said, listen, it takes time. For this reason, a man leaves his father and mother, and the two shall become one. It takes time to become one. But when you become one, there's nothing like it. You're equals with each other. You're totally different, but you're one. And you're equals with each other, and you love to serve one another. You love the joy of service. It's not like a pain in your posterior. It is the joy of the Lord, and there's nothing like it. But most people won't work that hard. So they end up getting divorced, or they something else down the road, or they get drunk or something. So, how did this all happen? God did by sending His own Son. Salvation is in and through Jesus Christ and Him only. There's no one else. There is no reconciliation with God except through Jesus the Christ. He Himself, 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His body. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for what? You can read it. Why are you living? For righteousness. Why? The law declared me righteous. I live for righteousness. I could die to my own sin. I have the power to die to my own sin. And I get to live. How do you live? I live for righteousness. By His wounds I've been healed. What do you mean? I was healed. I was broken. I was a dead man. I was in sin. There was nothing else I could do. Even when I learned manners. Even manners. Thank you. And all of polite things and opening the door and doing all that. It was still about my sin nature. But all of a sudden righteousness comes in. And you're rejoicing. And that's how you were healed. What do you mean? I have a new nature. I was healed. What do you mean? I've been made alive. What do you mean you were healed? Well, I was dead and now I'm alive. That's kind of a healing thing. Don't you think? I was born in sin and now I've declared righteous. That's kind of a healing thing. That's what he means. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you. I implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Oh, I want you to be reconciled to him. There's the magnificence of this new nature. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Why? Why did he do that? So that in him we might become what? You can see it. What is it? Just shout it out. What is it?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. Who are you? You are righteous. Who declared you righteous? God Almighty. Jesus Christ. God Almighty, right? So all you have to do is just turn to somebody and say, guess what? I'm righteous. Go ahead. You're embarrassed, aren't you? You're just almost embarrassed. Righteousness. What is it? Who declared you righteous? If you don't know that you're righteous, you're still condemned. If you don't know that you're righteous, you're still suffering through trying to behavior modification. You're struggling and you're working your rear ends off trying to figure out how to make it better. When you are declared righteous, you are righteous. Period. Because God did it all. All we're doing is accepting it. We are His glory because we accept Him. We accepted His word as true. There's no one like the Lord. The measure of God's love is that He gave His only Son. Who is this Son? Who is He? Well, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. Who is this Jesus? Who is He? He made the universe. How about that? That's not too shabby. The Son. Who is this Son? He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of His nature and of His being. He's sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. This is who He is. There's no one like Him. The angel of the Lord in Luke 1:35, the angel of the Lord answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." Wow! The holy offspring because there is no sin in Him. Hebrews 4:15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin." James tells us that God does not tempt anyone and He cannot be tempted. So if Jesus had not really become a man, He would not have known what it was like to be tempted. Why did Jesus Christ have to come this way? Galatians 4. "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights." That we might what? Receive what?
Full rights.
Full right. Receive what? A little bit of right? A little dabble, do you? No. Full rights. What are you talking about? I declare you righteous. Bob King, righteous man. Mary, mother of Bob King. Righteous woman. Bill, righteous man. Karen, righteous woman. My Karen. Ex-pagan, righteous woman. That's us. Men and women of God, there's no one like the Lord. I'm not hyping and jiving you. There's no one like the Lord. He gave you full rights. And if there's full rights, that's why he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. Be joyful always. Give thanks in everything. What do you mean? Give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. This is so, so beautiful. Hebrews 2, 9, 14, 16, 17. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death. He might taste death for who? For all of us. What do you mean taste death? That death that comes to condemn you. That death that comes to... That's why he's out later says, death, where's your sting now? You can't take any of my kids. Death will come, even though they die, yet shall they live. Look what he does. I mean, this is so beautiful. He might test us. So by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, what will he do? He might destroy him who holds the power of death. He will destroy him. Who is he? The devil, Lucifer. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. 1 Corinthians 15:21. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. Wow. I'm telling you, men and women of the Most High God, there's no one like him, there's no one like you. And when you walk into a room and you know that you're speaking to righteous people, just greet them that way. You know, you're allowed to be. You know, I used to tell my staff, on the churches we used to start, and I used to have a lot of staff. And when I would finally bring someone on, usually I met them for 6 months to a year before I'd bring them on my staff. And it wasn't about their education, it's about character. I wanted you to have good character. And I said, and I would let them know, I'd say, listen, on my staff, I want you to understand something. While you're in this carcass that you live in and all that, I believe you're a righteous man. I believe that you're a holy man. I know that. But on my staff, you're allowed to be a little bit of a jerk-faced idiot. Okay? Just don't make it a long season. Okay? All right? I want you to understand the magnificence of the Almighty. I want you to know praise and glory and wonder and awe. I want you to experience a freedom where you don't feel judged. That you didn't just do something, that you felt ashamed. Because you could go to your brother and say, you know, I just did this, and let's praise God together with me. Let's just get over it. Let's get it done. It's a holy place to be. His divine power, 2 Peter 1:3-4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Oh, listen to this. Life and godliness. How? Through our knowledge of him who called us. He called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given to us very great and precious promises. Why? So that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. You can participate in the divine nature. You can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in this nature. You can participate. What is the nature? Righteous. What is righteous? Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad? All men and women of the Most High. I'm always wanting people to learn to rejoice. I don't know what has happened in our culture. We're so afraid to rejoice. You know, I was down in Peru last year, and it was holy. You know, you were there with me, Mark. You were there. And I had these students come, and I was speaking to 1,000 college, university students. And as I gave the invitation, and I started talking to them, about 300 and some of them came forward to receive Christ. I wanted you to know how holy it was. They not only received Christ, you know what they started doing? Dancing. They started dancing. Right in front of everybody. They started singing. Who wouldn't? If you believe that you were dead and now you're alive, if you know what it's like to get the weight of your own guilt off of you and feel that condemnation is finally relieved and gone forever, if you knew the one who created the universe, declared you righteous, blameless, and perfect now and forever, If you knew the one who gave the law of Moses, written on a tablet, that law declares you righteous, who wouldn't shout and give glory to God? This is the one who loves you. This is the one we invite you to know. This is the one we invite you to repent. Why? Because in repentance you can't have condemnation. You can only have worship. Because you can never be condemned again.